Good afternoon. You're listening to KMHM 104.1 FM. It's time for a message from God's Word titled The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle. Get your Bibles and be ready to dig into the Word of God this afternoon on The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle.
This is Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be. We have been speaking about the fact that everyone, individuals and nations, reap what we sow sometime in our life, and that our own ways come back upon our own head. Most usually, each generation think they are smarter than the previous one, and that they can get away with whatever they want to do. I won't get caught, so they think. I'm smarter than that, so they think. Notice what God has to say in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. Because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So we think that we are getting away with ignoring God's instructions as to how to live our life. Adam and Eve and their rebel son Cain and the pre-flood world and Sodom and Gomorrah and many others have thought the same thing. Well, did they get away with turning their back on God, ignoring God's law, His word? If they thought they could beat that law of reaping what you sow, then they got a big surprise. Now, just because a sentence against an evil work isn't speedily carried out doesn't mean you have gotten away with it. God warns in His Word. He says, be sure your sins will find you out. Now we know God is patient and long-suffering and doesn't get in any hurry, it seems, to dish out punishment. But just as sure as the sun will set today, you will pay for what you do. There are a few people warning our nation and many other nations as well that we are on the doorstep of some very serious problems and troubles for our nation and the world and for you and me individually. For we can't continually corrupt ourselves and not expect a payback. And that payback time is very near. Notice what God has to say about the nations of Israel. And it is an end time message for our nation, the United States and the British people. Notice in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, so that He will not hear. Now God says that if we would change our ways, repent of our sins, then God would hear us and deliver us individually or as a nation. God says He will hear and deliver this nation if we will only heed His word, repent of our many sins, and rend our heart, not our garments, to our Maker. But God does say, if we don't change our ways and take to heart God's word, which tells us how to conduct our life, that we as an individual and as a nation are going to see some very tough times, and they are getting very close. Yes, we are getting very close to the time that God called Jacob's trouble. And as the Bible tells us, it is going to be the worst time in the history of man. And God even says, there will never be a time like it again, because this time of severe trouble is just a few years before and at the very time of Christ's return. Now, you may think that Christ died so you won't have to change your life. Not so. Christ died so your sins can be forgiven upon your repentance and changing your life. No, my friends, Christ didn't die so you may continue to rebel against God's law and still be saved, but so you may repent of breaking God's law and be cleansed from your sins and accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and be saved by His life. So if you want to be protected from the worst time to come on the face of this earth, which is just around the corner, then you will want to repent and turn to God and begin to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, or you can ignore God's warning message and be caught unaware as the pre-flood world and Sodom and Gomorrah were. God says Israel, and that means the United States and the British people, will be taken captive unless we repent and begin living God's way. And God tells us this in many places in His Word. Notice what God has to say in Jeremiah 30, verse 3. Jeremiah 30, verse 3. For behold, the days are coming, says the Eternal, that I will bring back from captivity my people, Israel, and Judah. Did you notice that? God says the days are coming when I will bring back from captivity my people, Israel, and Judah, two nations. And Jeremiah penned this 130 years at least after Israel was taken captive in 721 through 718 B.C. So it is a future prophecy. The Lord says, "And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." Now notice in verse 18, "Thus says the Eternal, Behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be built upon its own mound, and the palace shall remain according to its own plan." So this is speaking in the future, and God says that when Christ returns, that Israel is going to be in captivity, and that means the United States and the British people. Now, I know that doesn't seem possible, does it? Because we're the military might of the world. We're the economic might of the world right now. But God says, unless we change our ways, return to Him, that He's going to strip us of these many blessings, and we're going to go down, my friends, and be taken captive. Notice in Jeremiah 31, verses 1 through 2, says, "At the same time, says the Eternal, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people." Speaking of the time that Christ returns and begins the millennial rule of Jesus Christ. "Thus says the Eternal, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel, when I went to give him rest." Yes, says Israel that survives a sword. And places in the Bible indicates that there's only going to be 1/10 of the nations of Israel that go into captivity that will be saved alive. "Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel, when he went to give him rest." Now notice verses 7 through 12. "For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel." Save your people, the remnant of Israel. Just as though there's going to be only a few left of our nation, my friends, and the British-speaking people. "Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the ends of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and the one who labors with child. Together a great throng shall return there. They shall come with weeping." Yes, God asks us and commands us to repent now before we go into this terrible time of Jacob's trouble. And this is what it's speaking of here, Jacob's trouble. And God demands that we repent now. And if we would, it would save us going through the time of Jacob's trouble. But verse 9 says, "They shall come with weeping and supplication. I will lead them." Yes, God says, we will repent once we are in captivity. After we learn our lesson, we will come back in a repentant attitude, weeping, and with supplication I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, in which they shall not stumble. That means God is going to be teaching us His word, and we will be willing to follow God at that time. We will be willing to say, yes, I was wrong. He goes on to say, "For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Eternal, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock." Yes, God says He is going to have a hand in bringing Israel to repentance. And it's going to take punishment to do that, my friend, because we won't listen. We have to learn the hard way. We don't learn from history. "For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he." Now there is one stronger than Jacob rising up now over in Europe, and they're the one that's going to do Israel in. That is what we don't do to ourselves. "Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd. Their soul shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more." Now we have never lived in a time that our nation and you and me as individuals haven't had sorrows, have we? God says this time that He's going to deliver Israel from captivity, says we will never sorrow anymore. A future time, at the time that Christ returns, very plain. And He also says that David is going to be the king of all Israel. Says He's going to raise Israel, David, up. And David has been dead for 500-600 years when God made that statement. Notice in verses 16 through 19, "Thus says the Eternal, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy." Continuing to speak about our nation here and the British people. There is hope in the future, says the Eternal, that your children shall come back to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. You have chastised me, and I was chastised. And that's exactly what God is going to do unless we repent and turn to our God. Because God is going to have to bring us to repentance. Says, I have chastised him like an untrained bull. Restore me, and I will return, for you are the Lord my God. Surely after my turning, I repented. Yes, there's coming a time when the United States and the British people are going to repent. And they're going to come back, return to God. And after I was instructed, I struck myself on the thigh. I was ashamed, yes, even humiliated, because I bore the reproach of my youth. But you don't need to be one that suffers the worst time ever when Jacob's trouble boils to the hottest point. Notice what God tells us in Ezekiel 18, verses 25 through 32. It says, yet you say, the way of the Eternal is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is it not my way which is fair, and your ways which are not fair? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness, which he committed, and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. God says we can turn and preserve our life, because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Yes, God is telling you and me that we can turn, repent, and we shall live. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair, and your ways which are not fair? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Yes, God says there's coming a judgment on the house of Israel. Everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. God is telling us that we need to repent and change our ways, so that our lawless ways will not be our ruin. It says, cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Yes, God says, change your heart, your mind, and your attitude. Change your way of life and your thoughts and so on to the way that God is. Verse 32, for I have no pleasure in the death of the one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. Yes, God gives us warning after warning to change our ways by repenting and accepting the sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ and begin to walk as Christ walked. And he walked with God. Christ was in submission and in agreement with God in living a righteous life, never breaking God's law, not once. Well, the choice is yours. God doesn't force you to live his way, but God will allow your way, your own way, to come back upon your own head. God won't break his law of reaping what you sow for anyone. Now, we have also the second death penalty by our sins, that is eternal death. But Christ paid the penalty for our sins upon repentance. But otherwise, we pay for what we sow in this life. But you can repent and change your ways and greatly lighten what you reap. God has promised protection for those who turn to God wholeheartedly. My friend, if you would like more understanding, then we invite you to request our free articles. What do you mean, repent? And the free article, Reap a Destiny. Call us toll-free at 1-800-611-8080 and request your free article, What Do You Mean, Repent?, and the article, Reap a Destiny. You may also hear the Way It Ought to Be program at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday on WXAN, Ava, Illinois. Well, this is Pete Hornbuckle. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next program.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry. Tune in every Monday through Friday at 3:30 for another program of The Way It Ought to Be. You're welcome to meet with the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're located on County Road 300, just one block from the Cat Ranch. That's the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship, located on County Road 300, meeting every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And tune in again Monday through Friday at 3:30 for The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry.